Morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with us, as he typically is on a Tuesday. Sheriff, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. Good to have you with us. Let's start with this, because even though it's maybe not the highest profile crime, it is one that we did not get a chance to talk about last week, and I thought it was such a weird and interesting one that I wanted to ask you about it. Apparently, people are using trucks to steal ATMs, but they steal the truck in order to steal the ATM, and then other things happen after that, right? There's actually a case, but it's not just a single incident, right?
Well, in this particular time, it was a single incident. Last year, we had a rash. We had about three or four of these.
Okay.
But as you pointed out, we have individuals that typically go through like used truck lots, and then they'll steal a rather large truck using F-250, something, a one-ton type pickup trucks. Because their intent is to drive it through the front window of a convenience store and then either pull out the ATM with a chain, or actually ram through it and where the ATM is, and then knock it off of its base or foundation. So that's what happened last week. We had a truck stolen, and I saw the video that from the inside, the surveillance video, and the three people in the car or the truck, and then it runs into the front window, the glass doors and the glass windows around it. They take them two or three times to get through the window and the door, and then the ATM is right there next to it. So two people get out of the car or the truck while the driver stays in the truck. They wrap a rope around it, and then they get in the truck and they pull this thing off. We found the truck, and we found remnants of the ATM, not the money part, but the remnants of this ATM a couple hours later. And we're working on it. We're investigating it. The reason I mentioned it is a one-time thing is because we haven't had any since last year. Last year, we had a rash. It was a group of people coming through the southeast, and they would steal trucks in, let's say, Mobile, and they do this. And they come to Pensacola, then they go to Panama City, and then they go to Tallahassee.
So they had a pattern. They were basically.
It was a crew, yeah. Okay. And the same people were going through stealing trucks.
As far as we know, Nicolas Cage was not involved.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Stay
all right, fair enough. Go on.
Made for TV. But anyways, that's what they did this time. So we were watching a lot of our truck stores and stuff over the last couple of days, just to, in case that they're, because they did this every couple, two, 3 days in the past. And we weren't sure if it was this traveling group or if it was some locals that are doing it. And we're still investigating it, but we haven't had one since then.
And as you say, a lot of times it's because, used car places are, for understandable reasons, are sometimes not particularly tight in their key security, for just convenience reasons, right? Mm-hmm. So those are trucks that are more easily taken. What I don't understand is, so convenience stores that I've seen these days, maybe it's not all of them, typically have the bollards in front, which I assume is for exactly this reason, is to prevent somebody from driving in and breaking in and taking the money or whatever it is. I guess this one didn't have that, or it did have that and they worked around it.
I watched the video, and I haven't been to the store itself.
Sure.
But it seemed as if they must not have had it right there in front of the window and the door, front door. And so the truck must have went right through it.
And
appeared to go right through it.
On an ATM, once you get the device, you still got to get the money out of the device.
Yeah,
and that's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert in ATMs, but there's a cartridge, if you will, where they put the money in. And a lot of the ATM is the base and the foundation, and then there's the digital part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they once they get the ATM, then they have to do some cutting and some prying, and unless they have the key.
Yeah.
And then they get this cartridge out. And then what we found again was the outside of the ATM, where they obviously had pried out the money portion.
It seems to me, and I know this is not your area exactly, but it just seems to me like this could be stopped with, I don't know, dye packs or something that would be, if the machine got bumped too heavily, you've got a tilt on the ATM. Basically, it seems like this could be thwarted.
Well, I think some of the locations have, because of this, placed the ATM in different parts of the store.
Mm-hmm.
So they put them in the back of the store,
because
it shouldn't matter to the customer. I'm not I'm not a marketing genius, but if you need money, you go to one door, you go to the back of the store. It doesn't matter to me.
By the bathroom, by the cigarettes, doesn't matter, right?
To get that out. I mean, unless you have a big long chain. But even then, it's going to be much more difficult. So I'm assuming there's some sort of a scouting the place out.
Yeah.
And so, again, we're going back and looking videos and seeing who might have been looking around.
And again, I know this might not be something you know, but do you even have a rough idea of how much money is usually in an ATM? I mean, my own guess would be somewhere in the... I mean, it might be $10,000, but I wouldn't think it'd be much more than that. It might be less. Am I in the ballpark, do you think?
Yeah, usually we don't give up how much people can make.
Well, here's why I ask.
I'll tell you this, no more than that.
Okay. Well, and here's why I ask. The damage to the store is more than what's in the ATM. It's like stealing copper out of a house. They're doing way more damage than the stuff is worth, which is like now I'm paying higher insurance rates because the Circle K gets knocked over for the ATM that's not even worth the cost of the damage to the structure.
Yeah, but I think you're being reasonable. These are criminals, and they don't care about other people's property. They'll steal a truck worth $40,000, $50,000, $60,000,
right?
And then they'll damage it.
They'll damage it to probably more than what's in the ATM.
Yeah, and it's way—I mean, 10 times more than what they're going to get from the ATM. But they don't care about other people. They don't care about working people. They're criminals.
Well, that's why I wanted to tell the story, because I think it's an interesting crime that I had not heard much about otherwise, and some of the details that you and I talked about off the air last week, and also just the sheer stupidity of it in the scheme of economics, right? How it's just a crazy, crazy crime. Now to things that have been a little bit more high profile, another machete crime, which I still don't understand how many people must own machetes, but okay, it's a bad thing.
Well, I'll tell you that I've been in law enforcement a long time, and I don't know that I ever recall as many machete uses in criminal activities. In the last probably 2 years or so, we've had more stabbings and machetes. I don't know if that's because they can't get their hands on guns as easy as they could before. I don't know. But, yes, we had this situation where it was a domestic dispute, and a gentleman by the name of Roderick Lewis arrived in a silver Jeep. He exited the Jeep armed with a machete and threatened both of the victims that were at that scene. Again, this was on Empire. So the very next day, our deputies obviously knew a suspect in the vehicle. They saw one of our deputies, again, keenly aware of his surroundings, saw that silver Jeep, try to stop it. This one was driven by a lady named Crystal Sorrell, but Lewis was in the passenger side, and we wanted him for this aggravated assault that happened the day before. Tried to stop it. Jeep didn't stop. We had to do a pit maneuver. Worked wonderfully. Lewis gets out of the passenger side, runs. We catch him in a backyard somewhere, and then we arrest her for fleeing and looting as well. So both of them are arrested. We put a little picture of them if you're curious as to who these type of people are.
Yeah.
That would do this sort of thing. They're on our social media platforms and a little bit.
I wouldn't invite them over for dinner.
Yeah, well,
I'll put it that way. I wouldn't invite them over for dinner.
Well, knowing their background, I would.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Yeah
maybe just if I see them and we strike up a conversation. But you guys also, let's see, you've closed down another drug house or two even. I think one on Ledbetter, but also maybe a second one. Is that right, in the last week?
Yeah, I keep telling everyone that our narcotics unit is doing a jam-up job. This is in addition to our partnerships with our federal and state partners. And these are the drug houses that we just, we kick the door, we knock on the door, we kick the door and we close it down, put a sign out there so people know. And, because our concern is the people that are trying to buy drugs, they're driving by and they realize, hey, how you do with a convenience store? Is this place open? Is it closed? What is the deal? And the sign helps them to know to go somewhere else. This place is closed. Obviously, I say that in jest, but that's what happens and that's what the neighborhood typically likes to see. At times they're out there applauding. At times, the people who live there are trying to argue with us as we're taking drugs out of their house that they're not a drug house. But, that's their business.
Neighbors usually know, or at least suspect, and it's nice to see the cops do the job, right?
Yeah, they certainly suspect it.
Yeah.
Because we get calls from neighbors all the time. And a lot of times neighbors don't come out there and tell us, oh, I told you about this or brag about it. But they're glad. And we get phone calls and texts all the time. Thank you for cleaning this up. Again, even if it's temporary, it gives the neighborhood a chance to recover. It's like, you solve this one problem and then hopefully someone else will move in, or hopefully, while the drug dealer is in jail, they stop selling there altogether.
Right.
And we're not naive enough to think that happens all the time. But we know that every time we kick a door in, it makes that neighborhood just a little bit better.
Right. At least for a time. And, you know, sometimes that's the best you got and you do that.
And then ultimately we're going to do our best to make sure that we're starting writing letters to, there's two avenues. One is code enforcement avenue, and then one is the nuisance avenue, which is by statute, the sheriff can write a letter. And I've written a couple of letters. My legal team has written letters. I've signed them saying that, I'm declaring your house a nuisance because there's people dealing drugs here. And then ultimately, it's a long process. It's convoluted. I almost wish that the state legislature would take a look at this. If you do a couple of drug search warrants there, maybe give the county, not necessarily the sheriff's office, kind of a little more leeway in the speed at which they can declare that a nuisance.
Sort of an accelerated pathway for known violators. That maybe that would
if
happen.
It's known, and I'm not talking about if your grandson's
or something,
dealing
right.
drugs at your house, they take your house. I'm not there. Where I'm at is if you knew or should have known time and time and time again. This house on Talladega comes to mind. This we've been there 30, 40 times.
Oh God,
there's been overdoses there, search warrants there, and now we had a homicide there. That's a nuisance.
I had a listener ask a question that I didn't know the answer to, which is, of course, why I would ask you, wanted me to ask you. So they live in a covenant community, an HOA, and there are signs posted at the very front, no soliciting.
Right.
They also have signs on their property, no soliciting. Nevertheless, as you would expect, people come and knock on their door all the time. And they just wanted to know, what legal remedy do they have? Should they call you? What can you do? I was suspicious that this was probably just a trespass and therefore you guys would have to be there and observe and move them off the property. But that's why I wanted to ask you because I wasn't sure. What legal power, for example, do the no soliciting signs have? And then what legal remedy is there to stop this, if there is any?
Yeah, there's no real authority in the no soliciting in your neighborhoods. It is, as you mentioned, a trespass issue. And we either have to be there and you have to say, hey, don't come back. You can even, in addition to that, you can have a no trespassing sign on there. And if someone comes on your property, we still have to have you telling them to leave. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the no trespassing is...
Oh, that's interesting. So like posted no trespassing doesn't really accomplish much. You still need to have... them being told, or you need to observe the violation and the owner.
It does the second time. If we get there and we say, okay, Andrew McKay, you've got to get off this person's property. Mm-hmm. We will put your name on our list. So a dispatcher will have
repeat.
That.
Okay.
The next time a deputy gets there, they don't necessarily have to have the owner's permission.
I gotcha.
Now, okay. Because they've given you that authority and it usually lasts about a year.
Okay.
Those types of things.
But basically, yes, call you. Because you guys have the ability to trespass them off the property. But
well,
that's
they
kind
have
of
to
the,
be there.
But they have to be there for that to be there. Yeah, and if they've gone on to the next house. Yeah.
Oh, and I know it's frustrating. A lot of times political candidates would do this. They'll just walk onto a door and they'll knock on it and they'll say no soliciting.
Yeah.
And when I was running, I told them, we're not going to do that.
It's
no soliciting.
The sheriff doesn't want to show up where people tell him not to come and
there,
risk being trespassed.
Well, I don't think it's cool.
Right. Agree.
If they don't want you there, don't go there. I don't care who you are.
Right.
So anyways, I guess the list is
not everybody
people.
Goes by the it's not cool policy. It's kind of weird.
That needs to be the statute.
I like that. Write that into law. Football games
we had a lot of work. Yeah, everything went very well. The night games, I'm not sure who won these games, but I can tell you that from our perspective, I didn't get a single text that there was trouble at any of the high school football
games. No chick fights in the street out in front of the school?
No. Longleaf was clear this weekend.
Good.
And even the youth football.
One week incident free.
Yeah, well, at least 1 week. And here's the thing. Most weeks are incident free. But whenever something happens, it really blows up on social media. I know there was a move, one of the youth football games from Bellevue to Inslee. We put some of our cameras up there. There was no issues to report there either.
Very good. Last thing, you have an award ceremony today. I always love your quarterly awards because I, as a news guy, get to hear stories about good deeds and life-saving that don't normally necessarily make it into the paper or on TV or in radio. And so I like to focus on that. But it's a neat thing.
Well, Escambia is a pretty big county, and a lot of stuff goes on. We have tremendous employees. The men and women at the sheriff's office do a fantastic job every day, really. And this gives us a chance. And the reason we have them quarterly is because we do such a great job. And this is our chance to say, hey, thank you. You've saved a life here. You affected the community here. You did a great job. Sometimes it is, you know, you've been there for 20 years or 25 years, and we just want to say thank you. So today at 2 o'clock, we'll have our quarterly award ceremony. And like you said, you'll get to hear, you know, some of the background of some stuff you may have heard, but you didn't hear about
the detail,
about all the detail and all the good stuff. You know, unless we have a deputy, you know, going under a storm drain, you usually don't get that information until later on.
Right. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do. And we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.